All right. Well, we thank you, Lauren, for the reading of God's Word, and we're thankful and congratulate you as well on your accomplishment. I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 15, and today we're going to continue a series that we've been working through as we look at the I Am statements of Jesus. Each of these statements found in the book of John are somewhat confrontive to the people that he's speaking to, in some ways, but more importantly, they reveal an understanding of who Jesus is for all of us. And over the past few weeks, we've looked at statements like, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. And last week, we looked at when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we talked about not just him being the light of the world, but that he would be the light of your world. And so while today's statement happens in chapter 15, we understand and we need to really get a look at that it really begins in chapter 13 with the story of Jesus into the Last Supper with his disciples. And it kind of falls into line with chapter 18 where Jesus goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane and he's arrested and taken away to be crucified. And so in the midst of these in-between chapters, between chapter 13 and chapter 18, is this dinner conversation where a lot of what Jesus is doing is trying to prepare his disciples for what's going to come. Not just in his crucifixion and death and resurrection, but for even to us. And I want you to think about it this way. If you were sitting around a table with your friends and family, and you knew it was going to be the last time that you had that meal together, what would that conversation look like? Maybe you would want them to know how you really feel about their friendship or about their relationship with you. Maybe you would want it to share some life lessons that you've had, and you'd want to impart that knowledge upon them. This is the context of which this statement today Jesus makes, where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But this conversation doesn't really end with just those around the table. It's critical for all of us to really understand and hear these words, to hear these instructions. It's not hard really to grasp. It's not a really out there message. If you look at any healthy tree in our area, in our community, you've got rich soil. There's probably been at some point some kind of fertilizer put on. It's watered. And at the right time, with the right amount of care, you begin to see and be blessed by the fruit that it will bear. On the other hand, if I were to go and, after a windstorm, pick up a broken branch, one that's been cut off from the tree, I'm not a botanist. I fell asleep during botany in college, I can promise you, though that branch is not going to bear fruit. It's disconnected from what it was getting its sustenance. And the only way that fruit can grow is for it to be connected to the source. But Jesus gets even more specific than that. Up to this point in Scripture, Israel has been referred to as the vine that was supposed to be connected to God. And it was going to produce fruit in how it related to the world around it. But now in John chapter 15, verse 1, he says, I am not just the vine, but I am the true vine. And if Jesus is the true vine, then we have to understand that there's an implication that he's implying that there are false vines that we can connect our life to. Think about the areas in our lives that we tend to put particular focus into. Different phases in life, but they can be considered vines in our life. Maybe it looks like this when we declare that if I make more money next year, I can climb another ring in the company ladder. Or if I do this with my sports, I can do this and it will do this. And if, you know, if I could have a certain social status, if I could wear the right things, if I had the other right things, well, then I will be happy. And maybe Jesus is implying to us, he's trying to reach out and saying simply this question of, what kind of fruit do you really want to produce? Because if those are the kinds of fruit that you're chasing after, I'm pretty certain Jesus would reach out to us and say, you're missing the point. You're missing the point of what God's life and God is all about, of what a God-honoring life would be, because you can't hop off the true vine and onto another vine and expect the same results. Think about it like this. Maybe you're seeing a different kind of fruit coming out of your life. One that you know that it doesn't honor God. Maybe it's that you're easily angered and it's driving you crazy. Maybe there's some selfishness inside that continues to pop up and you know it isn't what you want, but it just keeps showing itself. Maybe it's a lust problem that you want gone, but you can't seem to get over it. And you're like, I'm trying to stay connected, but where's the fruit? And it's showing itself. But Jesus says this, if you remain in me. Some translations will say, if you remain in me, or you abide in me, or if you stay in me, and I in you. It's reciprocal. You will bear much fruit. He didn't say you might bear fruit or you may bear fruit. He says you will bear fruit. But not just fruit. He says much fruit. But here's the kicker. Here's the important part of that. It's that you have to stay connected, because staying truly connected is the only thing that produces the right fruit that leads to a life that honors God. You see it over and over in this passage. He's trying to get it through to his disciples' heads and into their hearts. You'd think that we'd get it even now, but apparently we still miss it. We get distracted by all the other things around us in life, and we think that, you know, well, it's just this one time. But we need this passage, we need this verse, we need this instruction to lodge itself into our heads, and more importantly, get down into our hearts. Because we need it to revolutionize our lives. Jesus says, I am the true vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's not just any kind of fruit that we're talking about. In Galatians 5, Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we look at these aspects of a godly life, we say, well, that's good stuff. I want that. But the issue is that I've seen, and I'll admit that at times I have practiced and been guilty of this, is that we find that we start to get selective. We see the, you know, love, joy, peace, and we kind of drift off at that point and say, that's enough, God. I'm satisfied. You know, all this other stuff, it's a little too much. Or we say, well, I just need patience. Or I just need self-control. And God says that's not how it works. It's not different fruits. It's one fruit. You don't get to pick and choose. If you're going to be in my life and I'm going to be in you, then it all needs to start showing up. And it's going to have process, because we have to remain in him and he in us so that we can bear fruit. It's critical that we stay connected to the vine. But the inverse is also true, that being disconnected produces nothing. It's not that it produces less fruit. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then if you look at verse 6, it says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. We aren't connected, we produce nothing, and we accomplish nothing. And when we're, this is what happens when we're disconnected. We have to stay connected. It's that important. But the big question is, how do we stay connected? I'll admit, there's lots of ways. And we need to use a lot of them at different places in our life. Some have all the time, but it happens through reading God's Word. It happens through prayer. It happens as we worship together in music and in song. It happens as we write poetry and we do art. It happens as we love one another and we see God coming and living in one another. It happens around coffee with a friend when they speak truth into your life when you need it. It happens on a sunrise, or more likely in my case, a sunset, breaking over the mountains in the distance, reminding me of God's faithfulness of another day. It happens as we hold a newborn baby that's sleeping, and you thank God for that blessing. There's a lot of different ways to be reminded of God's faithfulness and to stay connected. But the one certain way that it happens is that you have to do what Jesus says. We've got to apply His understanding, His action in our lives. In verse 10, He says, if you'll keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Francis Chan illustrates it like this. He's talking about a parent and their kids, and I'm sure many of our parents will understand this thought process. He says, you know, the parent talks to their child and says, go clean your room. Kid leaves and comes back, and child says, the parent asks him, did you clean your room? He says, I memorized what you said about cleaning the room. Well, that's great, but did you clean your room? Well, you know, later in life, I got it tattooed on my arm, and it's in Hebrew right here, so I'll remember that everyone should also see that I should clean my room. Well, did you clean your room? I got four friends together, and we went to a coffee shop, and we talked about it, and we looked at the word clean in the Greek, and it's klinio, which means clean in haste and with much fortitude. But did you clean your room? Oh, we went to a conference. We really talked about what it meant to clean your room. And then someone told us how to clean it more effectively. Did you clean your room? God has given us instructions, not just to study, not just to talk about, but to follow through. The simple version is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's God saying, clean your room. Come on, don't just talk about it. Quit just praying about it. Do it. We've got to do what Jesus tells us to do. You want to stay connected to the vine? You do what He says. He says, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love. Do what Jesus says. The second thing, though, is you've got to love like Jesus loves. Verse 12 says, my command is this, that you would love each other as I have loved you. Now, notice He didn't just stop with the parental thing of you've got to love one another. He adds this very important qualifier of, as I have loved you. Because if He just said, I want you to love each other, If you're a parent, you know what that means. It's kind of, well, I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to, or I only feel like loving them this much. And, you know, it's kind of subjective and how you feel about it, your neighbor, and what you just said, and you feel in the moment. But Jesus doesn't say that. That's not his instructions. His instructions is, do as I have loved you. Maybe he said this because he knew his disciples that well. Not just the disciples in his presence, but even amongst us. Because we see it in the story. They've been talking about it over and over and over on the way to Jerusalem, right before the Passover meal at the Last Supper. And they're arguing with who's going to be the greatest in next to Jesus. They're arguing about position. And Jesus stops and he says, the greatest among you is the one who serves. In other words, it's the one who loves. They get to dinner and Jesus puts a towel around his waist and washes their feet. He's showing them what love, what service looks like, that it's not about position. It's about doing what needs to be done. And he says, guys, this is what it looks like to love one another. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. You want to remain in my love? Then keep my commands. Do what I say and do what I do. Love each other as I have loved you. And the very next thing he says is, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Love each other as I have loved you. He didn't give him some long list of qualifiers. Well, if it's this day, you don't have to, or this. He doesn't say all these to-dos and don'ts. He just says, love like I loved you. It's that simple. Why? Because we are incapable of loving like he did unless we are connected to him. It's not in our nature. We want to be selfish. We want to just look after who we want and what we want. And Jesus says it's not about that. Do as I do. Love as I loved. Be connected to me. And as you connect to me, as you sustain in me and I in you, what's going to happen is all of a sudden the fruit of the Spirit, this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control starts to well up and show itself in your life. And as we begin to love each other as he loved us, what we find is it doesn't say, oh, that was good and I'm done. No, what it does is it drives us back to the vine. Because we realize we can't sustain that on our own. We have to be connected to the vine. And so we become a little deeper, and then boom, we go back to the vine, and the cycle continues, and it does. The little blossoms of his love become fruit in our life. A little bit of love, a little bit more of joy, a little bit more of patience, some kindness, all start to pour out of our life, and we realize it's not about us. It's about him and what he has called us to do, to be fruit of his love. All these things begin to reproduce themselves as we stay connected to the vine. My question for us this morning as we wrap up is simply this: what fruit is being evidenced in your life? What fruit are you developing? What fruit is it that you're intending? In which vine are you connected to? Because Jesus says when we remain in him, when we stay connected to who he is and how he loves, we will bear fruit, much fruit. And as we do that and we love each other, what happens is God takes our loneliness and He replaces it with His comfort. He takes our desires and He replaces it with His desires, His love. And as we love each other and we remain connected, we find ourselves changed into His image, one day at a time. God, do something in us. Produce fruit in me. And may all of Baker City, may all of Baker County, may Oregon know us by our love, by your love. What fruit is evidenced in your life? Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you. God, it's so easy to get satisfied with where we are to the point that we get disconnected. And then selfishness starts to pop its ugly head. God, help me for when I get so consumed about myself that I forget the bigger picture. Help me to be your image bearer. Help me to be a person of fruit of your Spirit. One that people will say there's something different about him. May you prune me, Lord. Cut off the dead weight that doesn't resemble you, so that I may more and more honor you in how I live. Do this with all of us, Lord. May your church be recognized by its love. In your name we pray. Amen. Again, we invite you for next week here on our campus. 9 o'clock service in the sanctuary, 10:30 in the Family Life Center. Our streaming service will continue at 9 o'clock with that service, and so we invite you with that. You can watch it anytime as well as you have been able to. We will ask just for people to wear if a mask for the coming and going, because that's where the space is tightest. We will have spacing in our seating for you. If you feel sick, please stay home. If you are a little nervous on it, we still will stream and we invite you. No judgment on that, but we want you to feel free to come and worship together. It'll be a great time of celebration together in God's love. God bless. Have a great week.